So, talking about stand, you know, warfare, we're going to look at spiritual warfare a little bit on from the aspect, our side of it, and then we're going to see God's side of it and what we got to do. A lot of people, you know, get under attack every now and then. That's just the way it is sometimes. And I just like to ask, how's the battle going? You know what I mean? Are you winning or are you losing? Sometimes it's hard to tell, isn't it? You're in the thick of the battle. You know, the reason why it's hard for you and I to tell sometimes because we're looking at it from the wrong perspective. Sometimes we see the battle from our side of it instead of trying to look at it from God's side of it. And I know it's hard to do, but the Bible says that we are seated in heavenly places, right? So that's where we are, I guess, in with God. So focus becomes clearer when we start to see things from God's perspective. And we're going to look today how to stand, what it takes to stand, and, you know, where we stand in the battle. You know, how many would like to be at the front of the line of the battle? How many prefer to be in the back? You know what I'm saying? It all depends, right? So the passage we're going to look at, we're going to look at Ephesians 6 for the next 4 weeks. And I know that sounds like a long time, but it'll go fast because it's only four Sundays, not four times seven is 28 days, right? So anyway, but I encourage you to meditate on this a little bit and think about it. Spiritual warfare, armor of God, how all this kind of transpires in our life and what it is that you and I need to do and how we're a part of it. Starts off in verse 10, and we're going to look at verse 13. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces in wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in this evil day, and having done everything, stand firm. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the power of the Holy Spirit to be working in each of our lives. Lord, we thank you that we're not alone. Lord, that you're with us every step of the way. Even when we don't feel you, Lord, we know that you are there. Lord, we thank you just for the unction to be here today and for the anointing of God to break every yoke of bondage upon our lives. I thank you for freedom, freedom in Christ. Lord, to help us to be able to walk in that freedom, to be able to enjoy that freedom. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and gifts of spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. So, looking at this passage, just starting off, and then we know that the warfare stuff goes on even where it goes into the armor of God, and we're going to do that at a later date. But, you know, we're going to break down today a little bit some bite-sized pieces so that we can digest the meat of God's Word. There's so much in this and how we approach it. So first, we're going to look at verse 10, where it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. You know, we live in a society where it tells us that you have to be strong. You got to be tough, right? You know, suck it up, buttercup. Is anybody raised in a family like that or been around that? You know, how about don't show weakness? You know, dig deeper, try harder. Now, I'm not denying the fact that we do have to toughen it up a little bit, right? But there's a way that you do it that makes it effective in the kingdom of God. And there are certain things in life that we're going to run up against. I'm just going to be honest, and you've probably experienced this already, that there's some things that you and I come across that's beyond our control, right? Have you ever had one of those yet? Things are just beyond our control, and no matter how hard we work, and no matter how hard we try, we just can't make it happen. So how do we face those sort of obstacles in our life? What do we do in those situations? How do we deal with that problem? How do we get past it? You know, it's difficult, but it's possible. All things are possible with God. And that's, to me, where the God factor comes in. Because I know so many times, I mean, I was raised to be very independent, not to really depend on a lot of other people, pretty self-sufficient in a lot of ways. So learning this sort of thing was hard for me to do in some ways, because I was raised to be strong. I was raised to cut my own path, and that's just how it was for me. But trying to learn these things, but you know, every now and then you run across some things that you just can't deal with, and figuring out just how it is that we have to allow God to come into our life, and we start to yield to this presence that we cannot see. Now we can feel Him sometimes, but how you learn to negotiate and to navigate those sort of things in our life is very important. And it's very important that we want to try to learn these things, because we're in this for the long haul. I hope when you decided to become a Christian, it wasn't a short-term thing. I hope you want to run the race, because technically it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. We may start out real fast, you know what I'm saying? How many started on a run and you started to sprint too quick, and then along the way you ran out of gas, then you end up having to walk and everybody else is just jogging right by you? Now, Christianity is a marathon. So we're commanded here. It talks about to be strong in the power of His might. And how do we find that out? Because I found out that, you know, this concept is easier said than done, because we have a tendency to always get in the way. Because I don't know if this works, this is you, but it is me sometimes. You know, we struggle with let go and let God concept. You know, let go and let God. And you're right in the middle of something very serious in your life, and you go, say, what? How do I let go? And how do I let go of this thing? And then how do I let God? You know, how does that even work? Because I got to fix this. Now, the words, we're going to look at a few words today, and I'm going to share a little Greek word with them. It's not going to be technically Greek phonetically correct, you know, how I say it, pronounce it, but we're going to do the best we can. The word that we're looking at here, you know, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, that word strong is endunemu, and it means to make strong or to strengthen. Talking about this strength is not something that we create, but it's something that we receive, and there's a difference. You know, it's not the strength that you and I can go out and do. And maybe you feel like you need to work out. I've been working out for several years now. And, you know, I am getting stronger. I can lift things that I didn't used to lift. You know, that's something that I'm creating. And that's not what this strength is talking about. This strength is talking about a strength that we do not go out and create on our own. It's a strength that it's imparted to us. It's given to us. And sometimes, some people have a hard time receiving. Are you one of those people that it's hard for you to receive from somebody, to be able to receive something from someone? You know, we need to get past that. We need to get to the place where we, as well as being a giver, we need to learn how to be a receiver. Amen? And those things are important. It's kind of like Samson. You know, a lot of people kind of have the misunderstanding. They thought Samson was just a big, strong guy that just was born that way and can do things. But technically, he somewhat looked like an ordinary man. And what the thing was, is the Spirit of God would come upon him, and he would go out and he would wage war against the Philistines and defeat them. But it's only when the Spirit of God came in on him was he able, because he had been enabled, to be able to go out and do those things. And that's what you and I are in life. Sometimes there's things that's well beyond our control, things that we cannot do. But when the Spirit of God comes upon us, we can do that. Just like Elijah, when he called down fire and the prophets of Baal died, and then he even outran a chariot to town. That's the Spirit of God comes upon somebody. And that's what you and I need to learn how to yield to do and how to understand that. You know, a scripture in 2 Corinthians 12:9, we've probably heard, it says, "And he came to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. That's the Apostle Paul talking there. He had been out preaching the ministry, and Satan had sent demons and things to buffet him, to hold him back in his ministry. And God just taught him a lesson there about God's grace, how his grace strengthened him to be able to go on and be able to get the job done. See, only when we get out of the way can we get into the greater things that God has to offer us. We have to get out of the way, and we have to find the place where we're at the end, and then end of ourselves, and then have enough sense to learn how to yield to God, to let the Spirit of God come into our life, and to be able to strengthen us, to power us through. And that's the power of God. We may be seeing a witness or a testimony of that. Maybe, you know, when Charlie Kirk was passed away, and then at the service they had for him, how his wife got up there and she said she forgave the man who killed him. That's not something you can do of your own, that sort of forgiveness. That's when the Spirit of God comes upon you. That's the kind of thing, and hopefully none of us will ever have to go through that situation. But I want to encourage you today, knowing that fact, that no matter what we go through, no matter how hard it might be, we have the opportunity to have the Spirit of God come into our life to be able to bring us through those hard times in life. And that's the battle that you and I face, and that's the battle that you and I are going to overcome and to win. You know, grace to me is not an excuse for failure, but an empowerment for the Lord to overcome. You know, that's what I see grace as. A lot of people use grace as something, you know, that I can go out and do whatever I want. And I call it greasy grace, you know, when they can go out and do whatever they think they want to do. And then they just know that, well, God will forgive me, you know. And God does forgive, but I don't play games with the grace of God. I don't play games with the forgiveness of God. So, you know, we need to make sure that we understand that God will give us the power. See, in the kingdom of God, weakness is not a defect, but an opportunity for God to work in our life. So don't look at your failures and don't look at your weaknesses as something that defines you. Look at it as something that's going to refine you to be able to bring you into the place that God wants you to be, so He can mold you and make you into the man or woman of God that He's called you to be. And that's what God's going to do. That's His part of the covenant with us. You know, all we have to do is present ourselves as a living sacrifice. God, I give it to you. I want to walk with you. Verses 11 and 12, and back in Ephesians 6, it says, tells us to put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. A lot of times we do this with our kids, and maybe the morning, maybe you're sending them off to school or whatever, and then you tell them, put your armor on, right? Let's put on our, you know, our helmet, and let's get our shield, and let's make sure we don't forget our sword this time. You know what I'm saying? You're going to need your sword. But technically, we never take our armor off. You know, we sleep in our armor. But, you know, it's kind of cute. We do that with the kids. But technically, you know, it's not like that. Now, we're against these things. See, the real battle we are in is not with the one we can see, but it's the one that we cannot see. That's where the real battle is. So technically, the person sitting to the right or left of you that irritates you right now, or sometimes, is not the enemy. You know, they're just your spouse or whatever. But what the enemy is the one that we can't see. And we have to remember that unseen battle. That's the battle that you and I need to learn how to deal with. Because that enemy will come in and try to attack, try to divide, and try to hold us back. I was just talking to a gentleman the other day, and he was talking, he lived in another state, and he was telling me just how, you know, he's getting ready to move to another state. I think he's in Texas now, and he wants to go to Florida. And, you know, he's talking about how he knew as a pastor, and we started talking about church stuff. And he just said, you know, I used to be very involved in my church, but about a year ago I dropped out because I was going to move. I go, how do you feel about that now? He said, it wasn't a very good decision. I says, it's best to go out in strength than it is in weakness, in that God's strength, to stay connected and stay so you can be built up. And then when you move out in strength. You know, and he says he knew what to do, but he just didn't do it. Has anybody ever had that problem? You know what you're supposed to do, but we don't do it anyway, for whatever reason. See, the devil had lied and pulled him away. See, the reason why we need to understand that we fight from a place of victory and we don't fight for victory, right? You're not fighting to win. We've already won. We're fighting going downhill now. Jesus went to the cross and defeated the devil. All we have to do is let that strength come inside of us, and so we can walk in his ways. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, I believe, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. No matter what the devil has to throw against you, the greater one, meaning the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you. Do you think the Holy Spirit lays awake all night worrying about what the devil's going to do? I don't. I don't think he cares. And that's the greater one that lives inside each and every Christian. Because when you're born again, the Spirit of God comes to reside in you. And we need to learn how to hear him and to activate that power in our life. You know, the Bible says here that we're to stand firm. To me, when you stand firm, that's well balanced and with good traction. Have you ever been out in a situation where you didn't have very good traction? I mean, we have that every now and then here in Iowa, especially in the wintertime, right? Have you ever stepped out on something real slick? And you just can't move, you can't stand, and we just need to learn how to stand. Sometimes that's the way life feels. It feels like you're standing on a banana peel or something. But God tells us to stand firm. We got to stand firm. So how does that work in our life? And see, a lot of times we throw in the towel, or maybe we're ready to set down and give up. You know, whatever the case may be, because maybe you're not seeing things happen as fast as you want. But see, to me, to have that well balance and good traction, it doesn't make any sense. But the first step that you and I need to do to be able to achieve this great traction that we need is to surrender. Now that just, I mean, surrender? How do you surrender? See, we surrender to God's will and his control in our life. See, to me, surrender is not giving up, but simply giving it over to God. Coming to the place in your life, it's finally dawned on us, you know what I'm saying? That we have to just give this over to God. Because I can't carry this no more. I can't be able to go through this. And you may need to place a person, a relationship, in God's hands. Just give it to him. So it's not giving up. When we surrender, a lot of people, when you say you just need to surrender to God, and all of a sudden their eyes glaze over and they just tune you out. Well, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to surrender. It's not quitting the battle. It's learning how to fight in a better way through the battle. Because when we surrender to God, we're no longer fighting by our strength. I don't know if you ever said stupid things. I have a time or two. I'd just been saved less than a year. And I was in Bible school. And when I got saved, I was radically saved. I mean, I was just in it. I mean, I was just, you know, getting preached at almost every day during the week. I think Saturdays was the only day I had off, because I had Bible school Monday through Friday and church on Sunday. And then Saturday, I don't know what I was up to. I'm sure I was doing something. But I was excelling. I was growing in leaps and bounds, because technically I didn't know anything going into it. You know what I mean? I had not been raised in a church, so all this stuff was new to me. And so I was like a sponge, and I was just sucking it all in. Well, in Bible school, I noticed that some people that were there in the beginning are no longer there anymore. So I started asking around. I said, what happened to so-and-so? And they told me, well, this happened. The devil came in, and one of them, I think, went back into some sort of sexual sin. Another one got bound up by some other thing. All this. And, you know, and I just kind of, maybe it's the pastor spirit in me that was really dormant at the time, you know what I mean? Because I wasn't even realized yet. But I finally said something really stupid, and I learned a valuable lesson. I said, okay, devil, take me. Because I thought I could fight. I thought I was strong enough. It was his pride. Well, I don't know if God pulled back a little bit of grace on me or what happened there, but I went through about a month before I finally dawned on me what I'd done that was so stupid, that I was under real excruciating attacks from the enemy. And finally, God got through to me and says, son, you can't fight this battle. I have to fight it for you. And I humbled myself, I repented, got back on track with God. It was good. But, you know, I really got to the place because I thought I was, you know, I had enough armor and I had enough warfare in me. I'm a fighter by spirit. That's my personality. You know, I just thought I could go, you know, deal with this. But see, I was wrong. It's learning how to yield to God. That's the important thing. And see, what I finally found out is that we need to place our life in Jesus's nail-scarred hands. Just think about that. See that, picture that in your mind. His nail-scarred hands are reaching out to you. All we have to do is place our life in those hands. I pledge it to you, Lord Jesus. I give it over to you now. And see, and I found out it's all kind of, it goes in growth patterns or whatever, but the greater our surrender, the greater balance and traction we're going to have. The more we let go and let God, the more that we learn this process of God's grace living through us and working through us, and we know it's not us, but it's Him, so that way He gets all the glory, the more that we're willing to surrender and let go and let God, we're going to start to grow quicker. We're going to get stronger in the kingdom. We're going to get stronger in the things of God to be able to walk in that power. So we're going to look at three Greek words, and we've done this years ago here in the church, but I just wanted to do them again. It kind of helps us to understand our enemy so we can defeat him. We're not going to study the devil. That's not what I'm big on. That's not my thing. But I want to expose him. I want to reveal, you know, what he's about, because this is how Satan operates. Now, there's three words we're going to look at. Now, I preach from the New American Standard. The first word is schemes. You know, we're not ignorant of his schemes. It says, and that word there is the Greek word methodos. Methodos. Maybe you recognize it because it means to be on a road or a method of doing things. It's the following or pursuing of an orderly and technical procedure in the handling of a subject. You know, how a method of doing things. Everybody has a method of doing things. You know, whether you want to accept it or not, you have a MMO. You know what I mean? Method of operation. How you do things at home. Your family. I mean, and different people here in the group, we all have maybe different ways of doing things. How your family conducts business. How your family interacts with each other. It may be similar, but some of them are kind of different. Because we're all different, right? And some of us are more different than others. But our method of operation, how we do things. And to be honest, this is how, I don't know if you like watching crime shows, I kind of do. This is how profilers catch the criminals many times. At least they do on TV. I don't know if it really works in real life. But they profile them because these criminals have a pattern of the way they do things. And that's how they get caught. And see, we ought to be smarter than a profiler, because there's a certain way that the devil does things. And once we're aware of that, we can be on the lookout. You know what I mean? We can be on the lookout of that. Okay. Now, the next word is found in 2 Corinthians 2:11. Now, New American Standard, ironically, it uses the word schemes again. But they use other words in different translations, so you don't want to be confused by that. But this word in 2 Corinthians 2:11 is the word, the Greek word, noemata. Noemata. And that's talking about mind or intellect. Or in this context, it means how it's a deceived mind or mind games, okay? So there it's kind of growed a little bit. We know that first in Ephesians 6, it talks about, you know, Satan has a MO, a method. And here it talks about how he does mind games. Okay, well there we're seeing a pattern start to develop. How he operates in our life. Whether you've been saved today or been saved for 40 years, he operates the same way. That's just how he rolls. That's just how he does things. And you'd think we'd learn, but we don't. And then the last word is the word devil. The word devil. And that's the word diabolos. Diabolos. In Spanish, I suppose it's diablo, but in Greek it's diabolos. That means the word dia, when you break that down, is talking about penetration, okay? And the word balo means to throw something, like throwing a ball over and over at the same spot in order to wear it down to make penetration, okay? If you take a ball and you hit something that's fairly hard and you keep hitting it and hitting it and hitting it right in the same spot, well then after a while it's going to weaken that membrane and it's going to break through. So that's the devil's MO. What he tries to do is that he tries to attack us in our mind. And a lot of times he hits us in the same area. Not all the time. He'll use different, you know, areas he attacks us. But primarily, he'll try to find a weakness that you and I have in our life. Let's say it's fear. So then he's going to continually hit you in that same spot over and over and over, trying to make penetration in our mind. Till what then happens is that you and I believe the lie is the truth now. And when we believe that the lie is the truth, then we start living our life according to that lie. But see, we need to learn his methods, those attacks that he tries to get. That's saying that you're not good enough, that you'll never make it. You know, you're always a failure. You're just going to be like so-and-so. All these things are word accusations that try to come in and to penetrate our mind so that gets us to believe. And see, that's basically the MO of the devil. That's what he's going to do. And he's been doing it for thousands of years. And he's going to do it. He attacked Eve in the Garden of Eden, tried to get her mind, tried to get her off and says, oh, God, you know, God's holding back on you. What? He's always going to try to attack you that way. And that's why we need to stay together. We need to stay connected so that you have people in your life that you can go to that will maybe recognize that sort of attack and to help you and to encourage you and not put you down, but pick you up. That's what the body of Christ is for. That's why we need each other. And so deception happens when we allow penetration of our mind and we believe the lie of the devil is truth. This happened in the Old Testament one time, happened many times, but you remember how Goliath used to come out? Now he was a big feller, we know that. Nobody would really want to take him one-on-one too much unless he was a young shepherd boy. But, you know, Goliath would come out and he would yell out to the troops of the Israeli army and taunt them and challenge them. And over a process of time, they kept getting more afraid, more afraid, more afraid. Till finally, nobody would even think it'd be reasonable if they go out there. Number one, who's to say you couldn't send two or three guys down to get him? Here Goliath steps out from his army. Why not just send two or three? No, he made them believe that they could only send one person. You know, they didn't have to do that, but they believed the lie. Well, finally, David come, and he'd spend some time out with some sheep, and he'd already killed a lion and a bear, and he just kind of had in his head that nobody's going to mess with God. Nobody curses God, and that's what Goliath was doing. Well, that just got the Spirit of God to rise up in David. So he took a sling, grabbed some 5 stones, and went down and dealt with that problem. One thing about David, he had not been subject to that verbal attack. He had not been subject to that. And he came in from a fresh perspective. And that's why it is good to have a fresh perspective on some things. And, you know, trusting in the power of God doesn't hurt either, does it? Amen? Having God direct your stone. So the devil uses one road, which is deception, by playing mind games and that continual attack on our mind till he makes penetration. So in doing that, so you and I need to learn to use the armor when we're in hand-to-hand combat wrestling with the devil. And that's what we forget some. See, when we fight, see, we're so used to, of our age, you know, drone technology, right? How many like drone technology? They just fly above and boom, drop a bomb, deal with it. But see, that's not how you and I mean, we do prayer, and that's what prayer is. But primarily, that's a few people I know wrestle. How many wrestlers that did wrestling in school here? I know we have a few. Amen. Nobody good. Anyway, this is how to go. I know. I figured there'd be one. I know Christian was a wrestler, but he's up on the sound. But it's that kind of warfare. I mean, is that the kind of fighting you like to do? Just get right in there and grab a hold of somebody, and they grab a hold of you. How many like them old sweaty bodies grabbing a hold of you? And I mean, somebody hasn't showered in a couple days, you know, and you're getting into that wrestling, and you're just gripping on each other, rolling around. And see, that's what this warfare is like. When we fight the devil, it's very personal because he makes it personal. You know, a lot of us don't get offended very easy until it gets personal, right? When it gets personal, everything changes. See, that's what the devil's trying to do. He tries to make it personal to get us, attack us in our soul, so we're not really looking at things from a clear perspective. So we need to understand that that's how we fight. It's up close and personal. Now, Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand. Okay, so stand firm, I mean. So, something to remember about the armor before we're going to this in the next few weeks is the fact that the armor is not our strength, but God is our strength. The armor is just something that we use, right? So the armor is not our strength, so don't trust in the armor. Trust in the one who gave us the armor. That's the important thing that we always have to hold on to. And so when we stand, it doesn't mean stand still, because that can lead a, you know, I just standing. Bless God, I'm standing. It doesn't just mean stand still, but stand in the power of His might, because I really think that we need to kind of keep moving. You know, if you're standing in one spot all the time, you become an easy target. So we stand, meaning that we've surrendered to God, but we're still heading towards God. We're still doing the things that we know to do. You know, we all know what those are, just sometimes we just don't do them. Right? You know, we know what we're supposed to be doing, so we just need to learn to stand and being able to yield to Him and to be able to watch Him move. And, you know, letting godly people, you know, sometimes speak into our life. So all we have to do is to stand and resist the devil. I know it's easier said than done. So no matter what the devil brings against you, I want you to think of some things that you've been under attack, and maybe it's been lately. You know, if we feel overwhelmed, sometimes that happens, right? Life happens. We get overwhelmed. Too many things coming at us at the same time. Stand. Maybe you feel like giving up. What do? Stand. Maybe you feel like the battle's too hard and you're not cut out for this kind of lifestyle. Stand. Learn to stand in the power of His might. I want us to look at another scripture here in a moment, but I don't think I have it on the screen, but it's a scripture I want to give you for an assignment, your assignment this week. And this is one I share periodically. And it's one that's always meant a lot to me, because it helps me to understand this concept, because we're trying to walk this balance in life. What's our responsibility? What's God's responsibility? Meaning, what do I supposed to do? And what does God say He's going to do? And whichever side, we need to stay on the road, because, you know, anytime you drive down the road, there's a ditch on one side and there's a ditch on the other, correct? And sometimes we leave the road, we're in one ditch. Then we overcompensate, whip her back up on the road, now we're in the other ditch. So our goal is try to stay in the center of the road. I know you're supposed to stay on your side, but for this application, we just stay in the center of this spiritual road that we walk with God. We have to get to that place. So this is the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, and he learned this. It says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God in me. Now that is circular thinking, isn't it? I labored more than all of them, but not I, but the grace of God in me. So Paul, he got it. He broke through that barrier of confusion that you and I sometimes face sometimes. You know, learning this concept to me is a real game changer. You know, just like faith and works, picture that same road. You know, some people are, you know, they understand the faith, and James criticized those groups. That's a half-brother of Jesus, right? Talked about faith without works is dead. And then the other group, works without faith is meaningless. Got to stay on the road. Well, both of them are right. You know, we have to have works, but we do them by faith. But we mess that up sometimes. I mean, don't feel bad. Peter got it messed up. In Galatians, Paul had to correct Peter, of all people, who was one of the apostles who walked with Jesus and watched him. But he fell into this trap. When the other Jews came around, he pulled away from the Gentiles and started to get kind of all religious on everybody. And we can do that. So we've got to be careful. You have to have faith, but your faith has to have works at corresponding action. So the same concept is when we get into this, the idea of standing. But what does it mean to stand? I mean, like I said, if you just stand there, you're going to get, you know, probably get ran over. You get, you know, attacked because you're an easy target. Well, how do you stand in strength? And it's not your strength, but it's God's strength. So how do you do that? It's that concept of just starting to trust in God. It's the idea of knowing, you know, the fact that, yes, God has put certain gifts and talents in each and every one of us. And some of you are very good at certain things. But how do you acknowledge that gift? How do you acknowledge the gift that he's put inside of you? Is it a form of pride that becomes our identity? Or do we have it always in our mind that God gave me this gift and it's him working through me? There's the safety net. As long as we understand that whatever we do, that it's to say, God, I thank you for doing this, you know, and it's you working through me and you're the one who gets the glory. If you can kind of keep that flow going, it'll keep us in the center of the road. It'll keep us in that place of safety. But if we get off a little bit in our thinking, and that's where the devil comes in, right? The attacking in our mind, those things are all coming in. So it's how we frame it, how we look at it, and how we put it together in our life. So getting past that strength in our strength or standing in the strength of God is very important. So in saying all that, and what the apostle Paul said is that, don't let the grace of God be in vain. Meaning the fact that don't let it be worthless. Don't let it be a waste of time. So we want to learn how to walk in these things. Because when we learn how to walk in the Spirit, it's a walk of power. You know, how many would like to be immune? Immunity. Whatever sickness or disease comes around and you're immune to it. How many would like to be immune to ever feeling hurt again? Never get offended. That's a place of immunity. And see, when we learn how to stand in God's strength, It's a place of immunity. It's a safe place. I like to refer to it as a Holy Ghost bubble. You know what I mean? We're just in that bubble on the inside. Doesn't matter what's going on all around us. Now that's a noble aspiration to want to get to that place, because we're human. I know that. We're not machines. But see, as we learn how to stand, and which we're going to be going through this next series, you know, I want us to be able to learn how to stand strong in the power of might. And I want us to look at ourselves as we're the go-to people of God. When God needs something done, He's going to come to us, because He knows that we will see it through to the end. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.